Okay. Okay. Let's go to Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. Past couple of days have been a little challenging, some of the topics. Today we're back to Maseches Brachos. And tomorrow will be challenging again, but then we'll be back to Maseches Brachos basically for the rest of the Masechta. But today we have some interesting topics. Let's start again from Tani Chada. No water today. Tani Chada, Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, about 10-12 lines up from the bottom. So the Brisa says, we read this yesterday, Tani Chada Tzaradim Tfilah Vim Ma'osav Ba'af Raksuso. There's one Brisa that says that a person could put money with his tefillin, it's about 10 lines up on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, could put money with his tefillin in his scarf, meaning in the same place. But Tani Yidach Lo Yatsur. There's one Brisa that says, you can't. So lokasha hadasmei hadalawasmei. It depends if it was designated, if there was hasmana, the person designated to use it for a tefillin bag. Damar of Chizda, high sudra to tefillin to asmei lemeitzer bei tefillin. This sudra, this handkerchief of tefillin, the tefillin that's used for tefillin, the asmei that a person designated to put tefillin in, zar bei tefillin aser lemeitzer bei pshite. If you put tefillin in it, then it's aser to put money in it. Pshite is money. Coins, asmenei v'latzarbe, tzarbe v'lo asmenei, but one or the other, just designation or just putting it in, shori lebeitzer bezuzei. That is Rav Chizda Shita, and that's what we paskin like. For a tefillin bag to be usher, to put anything else into, it has to have both designation, and you have to have used it for tefillin. Both of those is what we paskin as mana lav milsahi by itself. This comes up in a lot of places. Let's say, you know, you have a contractor who builds you a bathroom, but didn't use it for a bathroom yet. Doesn't have the status of a bathroom yet. That's called hazmana. Hazmana comes up in a number of places. So we paskin hazmana lav milsahi by itself. You need hazmana and actually putting the tefillin. Ula abaya to amar hazmana milsahi, and abaya who we don't paskin like hold hazmana, just hazmana. So then according to him, azbenei avakatul tzarbe, if you designated it, if you bought it from the svarim store, and it's a tefillin bag, that's what you bought it for, that according to him, you already can't put money in, because, or any other object, tissues, or anything else you want to put into your tefillin bag, because that's already designated. But according to him, sarbe yasmani yasri lo asmani lo. But even according to Abaya, if you just put it in, but it's not designated yet, it is mutter. So this is the halacha that a tefillin bag, not just tefillin, but a tefillin bag has kedusha. What is this rooted in? This is rooted in the concept called tashmishei kedusha. Gemara in Megillah tells us there are two types of objects related to mitzvos. Something called tashmishei mitzvah and something called tashmishei kedusha. Tashmishei mitzvah, says the Gemara, are talis and lulav and shofar, and all of those are called tashmishei mitzvah. You use them for mitzvos. Tashmishei kedusha is. Besides, say for Torah, tefillin mezuzah, the tefillin boxes, even maybe the tefillin straps, the tefillin bag, the box you put over the mezuzah, all of those are called tashmishei kedusha. What's the difference? You have to put it in Sheamus. Tashmishei kedusha, you have to put in Sheamus. A tefillin bag has to go in Sheamus. A sefer Torah cover has to go in Sheamus. While talis and lulav and shofar me'ikar hadin, after you use them for the mitzvah, you got to throw them out. Me'ikar hadin. We, the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch says, you know, you're supposed to not treat it b'derech b'zah. You only have to put it into a plastic bag and then you can throw it out. Let's see, your tzitzis become puzzle. It doesn't go in Sheamus. Tzitzis become puzzle. Maybe you could use the strings for a bookmark and a sefer, says the Maharil. But really, you're allowed to throw it out, but you put it into a plastic bag and you throw it out to have covet for it. Why is there a difference between tashmishei kedusha and tashmishei mitzvah? So the way that it's normally described is that anything that is connection to the ksav of Torah, anything that connects to that is called tashmishei kedusha. So anything related to a sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah has connection to the ksav of Torah. It either is ksav of Torah or it covers ksav of Torah. So that is why it achieves inherent kedusha, and therefore it must be buried even after it is used. Tzitzis and shofar and lulav, that has no inherent kedusha. It's kadosh because you're using it for a mitzvah. Memela, once you're not using it for a mitzvah anymore, then the Gemara says nizrakin. Rav Soloveitchik went one step further, and he said maybe all of this is the explanation why there's a difference between the mitzvah of kvura for Jews. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of kfura for Jews. And by non-Jews, there's a question. So why is there a mitzvah? Where does that mitzvah come from? So Rav Soloveitchik suggests, I think this is Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Shechter quoted in the Sefer, if not, it's Rav Shechter himself. I don't remember. But so the pshat is that every Jew has a connection to the Ksav of Torah. The connection that he learned at some point in his life, that itself makes every Jew tashmishei kedusha. And he goes one step further, that even if a Jew never opened up a Sefer in his life, he's the most unaffiliated Jew in the world. He learned in the womb. Gemara Nida, then the Malach teaches him Kol Torah Kula. So every Jew has the connection to Ksav of Torah, and that's why he's like Sheamus. Tashmishei Kedusha, therefore there's a mitzvah to bury everybody from Am Yisrael. Okay, so that is all the discussion of Tashmish Kli, Tashmish Mitzvah. There is a discussion of Lamaisa, so you can't put things in your small tefillin bag, but into your talus bag, that's Tashmish, right? That's the connection to Mitzvah. That's why you're allowed to put other stuff in your talus bag. Tissues and other keys and other things, because that doesn't have the status of Tashmish Kedusha. The Shulchan Aruch talks about if somebody wears two tefillins, Rabbi Tam and Rashi, you're not supposed to put them in the same bag, because Lachora, one of them is right, and one of them is Halakha Lamaisa, not correct. So therefore, whichever one is not correct is in the bag with the real Kedusha tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should have two separate tefillin bags. But then he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, that if you had in mind originally to put both of them in the same bag, then it's okay. Because that was like Azmanay for both. Okay. About six lines from the bottom. Ba'a minei Rav Yosef Berei Derev Nechun Yemei Rav Yehuda. Could a person, when a person goes to sleep at night, could he put his tefillin, let's literal translation, under his head? Could he put it under his pillow? Let's say you want to guard it. Under a person's feet, for sure he can't, because that's bizayin. Can he put it under his head? My. Shmuel says, yes, you could put it under the pillow, let's say, even ishto imo, meaning even if he's going to be with his wife at night, still he could put it under there. Farshim explained it probably, hopefully, means kiss besoch kiss, a double wrapping, which is, let's say, in the tefillin bag, which is, or in the talus bag, and then surrounded by another plastic bag, because the tefillin bag we learned yesterday on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the tefillin bag is like buttons of the tefillin, because it's meyuchad. So you have to have two. You could have the talus bag, and then you could have it in a plastic bag. That's called a double covering, and therefore a kiss besoch kiss, and that would be a way that one could even be with one's wife with tefillin in the room. There's a halacha about having svarim in the room, the mezuzah, that's why most doors close, the mezuzah on the outside, but if not, serious question. You probably have to put something else on the tefillin box, because that's the tefillin box is one, but then you need something double to cover the ksav of Torah. But says Shmuel, you can have it under your head, even ishto imo. Meisvei, we have a brayso, lo yiniach adin tefillah tachas markalosav, but b'nei shenog b'abinim b'zoyon, you're not allowed to put it under your feet, ava manichan tachas marashosav, but v'imhaisa ishto imo asur. Right, the brayso is against Shmuel. How can Shmuel argue with the brayso? But if it's three tefachim higher or lower, so then it would be mutter. But the brayso is against Shmuel. Could you have it under your pillow, even if you're with your wife in bed? Tiyufta de Shmuel, tiyufta. Says the Gemara, so we reject Shmuel. It's a tiyufta. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, afal gav the tanya tiyufta de Shmuel, huchzak avasei. Even though we reject Shmuel, we hold like Shmuel. The Maritz Chaya says, how is this possible? Right, the Gemara never uses such a strong language. We usually have a rule that if it says, sometimes it says tiyufta about a certain shita. Okay, fine. So we can still paskin that way. But if it says tiyufta, the person tiyufta, so the Rashbam and Baba Basra says he never paskin that way. So how can you paskin this way? So says the Maritz Chayis, maybe we don't paskin like a tiyufta person tiyufta only after the Gemara. If the Gemara said it, then we can't paskin that way. But if the Gemara itself says, even though it says a hilchzak kavasay, then you're allowed to. That's what he suggests. To help explain how we could do that. So my time, why do we hold like Shmuel? Kolin to renew tvei adif. As long as you're doing it for the shmira of the tefillin, you're not stam sleeping on your tefillin. You're doing it for the shmira of your tefillin, so it's better. Like yesterday, we had certain ideas about the shmira of the tefillin, taking it into the bathroom, other things you're allowed to do for the good of the tefillin. So kolin to renew tvei adif. The Hechi Manachlehu, where exactly are we allowed to put it? On Rabbi Yirmiya ben Karla Kesses, Shalok Keneged Rosho. Rabbi Yirmiya says, even Shmuel doesn't allow you to put it mamish under your head. You could put it like under your pillow, but sticking out. You're on one side of the pillow, and the tefillin are under the pillow on the other side of the pillow. So the Hatani Rabbi Chiya Manichan Bekova Tachas Marasho. So Rabbi Chiya said that you could put it in a hat under your head. So it sounds like it's mamish under the head. Demafik Leila Mursha, Dekova Lavar. No, there's a piece, there's a bulge in the hat that's going out that's not under your head. So it means, let's say you have a pillowcase, a big pillow, a long pillowcase that's longer than the pillow, so you can put it in the pillowcase, but not under your head. Lav dafka under your head. Bar kapara, sayer lehu bekilsa, umafik lemershi on labar. Bar kapara, in the days of the Gemara, a lot of people had canopy beds, like the old-fashioned beds. So bar kapara had a canopy bed, so let's say you have a little curtain on a canopy bed, so you wrap this tefillin in the one of the curtain on the side of the canopy bed, and hung his tefillin in there, labar to the outside, and that's what he did with his tefillin. Rav Shisha breed Rav Idi Manach Luasher Shifa. He put it on a bench. Upar Sudri Lave, and he put a suder on it. Again, this is the Rishonim explained. This is based on the fact that you should try to have two kisim if one is going to be in the room and doing acts that might not be respectful for the tefillin. Yeah.
What's the idea of why you would want to put it under the pillow?
To guard it.
So if you put it on the other side of the pillow.
I'm saying, but it's still going to be, it's in his bed. You know, it's still going to be guarded, right? It's not going to be under him, but as long as it's not going to be outside. It's not going to be like yesterday. We had somewhere outside, it might could be taken. Other things could happen to it. But it's in, if it's in his bed, even if it's right next to him, you know, he might still get woken up. Okay. Amar Rav Avnuna, Breid Rav Yosef. Zimna chada havaykeimna kameda Rava, vi amar li zil aysi li tefillin. One time I was in front of Rava, and Rava said, you know, can you please bring me my tefillin? And I found that Mamish in the place we're talking about, right next to his pillow, inside the extra fold of his pillowcase. And I knew that his wife had gone to the mikveh the night before. How did he know? It's a question. But those days maybe it was a little more known, but somehow he knew. And I knew that the reason Rava told me to go get his tefillin from that spot was because he wanted to teach me halacha lemaisa. He wanted to teach me that even if, wanted to teach me halacha kishmuel, right, that you're allowed to keep it in the room in this way, afilu ishto imo, even if one's going to be with one's wife, because I know, it was yom tefila, lel tefila. So that's, you know, sometimes Rebbeim have various ways to teach the Talmidim things, not just telling them beferish, but even by certain behaviors that they tell them about, that's also a way. You know, it's maybe it would have been pasnish for Rava to say beferish, this halacha, so he want, or maybe he wouldn't have believed him, because it has to do with Inyan Yitzriyas, so Imamish told him something to look somewhere, so that he would see, that's halacha l'maisa. Okay. Boy minei, Rav Yosef, Breid, Rav Nechunya, Mei Rav Yehuda. So we just had a halacha about the covet of tefillin when two people are sleeping together in a room. So now we're going to talk about another halacha regarding two people in a bed together, regarding saying kriyashma. Shnaim sheyishenim b'mita achas, mao shezeh yachzer panav v'yikra kriyashma, v'zeh yachzer panav v'yikra kriyashma. Let's say there are two people in a bed together, and in the olden days, I guess they didn't have pajamas like we have, so they weren't, they were arum, they were naked, and they're under a blanket, let's say. So they allowed to say kriyashma. Let's say this Zman Kriyashma is coming, and it was like that we had yesterday in the Mishnah, that it will take too long to get up and get dressed, Mishnei Sachama. So they allowed to say Kriyashma when they are in the bed. So that's the question. Tosus points out here something that we'll talk about more on the Chavtala Mabeis, and that is we have a concept called Liba Roesa Erva, that it has to, it's supposed to be a hefsek. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. It's supposed to be a hefsek between your heart and your eyes, let's say for now, but when you say Dvarim Shebek Dusha. So here, if you're just under the blanket without any clothes on, where is that fulfilled? So Tosef says he holds his blanket, you know, close to his chest, and he has that hefsek, which is going to be one of the days in the Gemara later. But so that's not the issue now. So are you allowed to say yachzir panav the yikra kriyashma? Amar le, so he answers him. Rav Yehuda answers. Hachi amar Shmuel afilu ishto imo. Yes, even if your wife is in the bed, the same bed. You're still allowed to say kriyashma. Obviously, Rashi points out here, it has to be where you're machzer panav, because if you're facing each other, then there's more issues of hirhurim, there's more issues of the front of the bodies touching each other, which for sure there's an issur to say dvarim shebikdusha in that regard. But if you're not facing each other, and the most that's touching is the back of each person, so then there's a havamina that you can say kriyashma while you're still in the bed together. And Shmuel says, yes, it's mutter. Even ishto, even if your wife is in bed with the same bed with you, so you still ought to say kriyashma. So basically Rav Yosef, one second. Rav Shmuel is saying, even if your wife's in bed? No. Ishto v'lomi boy acher. Shmuel is saying, oh, if your wife's in bed, and surely if somebody else is in bed? Adarabba. Says Rav Yosef, just the opposite. Look at this usage of the term. Ishto kigufo. What do you mean? Your wife is kigufo. So usually that's a halachic legal term. But here it's being used as a person is always used to sleeping in the same bed with his wife. So of course there, it's more mako. There, there's less chashash of hirurim, less chashash of not having proper concentration, Rashi says. V'ragilba, lucky hirukulei hai. Right, so ishto kugufo, acher lav kugufo. Rav Yosef argues on Shmuel. Rav Yosef says, there's more of a problem by an acher than by ishto. Because by ishto in the bed, a person's used to being in that situation. And therefore, there he could say kriyashma, says Rav Yosef. So it's a machlokas between Rav Yosef and Shmuel. Yeah.
What's the meaning that somebody else, another woman is in?
Not another woman, let's say another man. Let's say another...
Whatever.
Let's say the Gemara. They were. Let's say they were in yeshiva. Let's say they weren't. They never had so much money in those days. Let's say they were. Sorry. So it's not a chashash of I was looking around regarding that question. I don't think it's a real chash of hirhur, but I think it's a chash of not being benachas enough to say Kriya Shema properly. I don't think there's a real hirhur issue, but it's not an environment where you'll be comfortable enough to say Kriya Shema. You'll be a little tense, let's say. Tense, you'll be tense, you know, you're in the same bed with somebody. Obviously, we think we're talking about Dvarim HaMutarim here. Nobody's doing anything wrong here. So let's say, so I think that's the hirhur issue here. Meisvei, so we're going to ask a kasha on Shmuel. Gave you a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yosi. Shnayim shishem b'mita achas zemachzor panav akorei zemachzor panav akorei. We have one brayso says that you're allowed to turn around and say Kriya Shema. V'tanya achrisi hayashin b'mita ubanav ubrei beso b'tzido. Harizelo yikra Kriya Shema. Another brayso that says if you're in the same bed with a family member, again, it's if somebody's poor, you know. So I just we're just reading with my kids the story of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So his two sets of grandparents all slept in the same bed, right? They didn't have enough money, so two on this side and two on that side. So if you're very poor, you all sleep in the same bed. So he said, let's say he's in the same bed with his family. Right? So you can't say Kriya Shema, says the second Brisa, unless you have a hefsik, which is Masbah. You can't just turn around. And if they're very young children, then it's mutter, it's okay, because it doesn't have the status of erva yet. And there's no issues there, which we'll talk about the age in a few minutes. So Bishmiller of Yosef, I understand these two brises. The first brise says you're allowed to just turn around. The second brise says, no, you can't turn around. You have to mamash have a hefsek in between. So I understand what the chiluk is. Lokasha, habishto, habacher. Rav Yosef himself was machalik. That if it's one's wife, so then it's mutter to just turn around. That's the first brisa. The second brisa, there's other people, so that's why it's usser. El Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, it's a question, because Shmuel says that it's always mutter, even with one's wife. So what's the chilek between the brises? So Amar lecha Shmuel, Rav Yosef, mi nicha. Rav Shmuel says, hey, Rav Yosef, you work out so perfectly. There's a problem for you too. V'hatanya, there's a third brisa. Haya yashin b'mita, Tosfos girsa, let's use because it makes it easier. V'ishto imo b'mita. Lo yikra Kriya Shema, elam kedaisa talisa mafzekas b'nein. There's a third brisa that says, even with your wife in your bed, so then you still can't say Kriya Shema. So Rav Yosef, you also have problems. You're also against the brisa. Ella, but Shmuel continues, ma'ischol ha'meimar. So what are you going to answer? Ishtel Rav Yosef tanoihi. You're going to say that there's machlokas tanoim about Ishto, and Rav Yosef paskins one way. So Shmuel says, l'didinami tanoihi. I also have there's a machlokas tanoim about everybody, and I paskin one way. So yes, there's a machlokas tanoim about it. And Rav Yosef and Shmuel are amoraim, but as long as there's a machlokas about it in the tanoim, they're allowed to say whatever they want. So that is the end of the discussion of Rav Yosef and Shmuel. Well, not the total end, but that's the two das. Omar Mar. Zemachzer panav akorei Kriya Shema. Right, and you turn around. So he asks the Mar, v'ha'ika agavot. Aye, the whole issue is the front of the body. Agavot is the behind of people. So isn't there an issue there? So what, you're turned around, but doesn't that have the status of erva too? So if you're not facing each other, but still the backside of people, that doesn't that also have the status of erva? So the Gemara says, must be not. Misayil Rav Huna, to Amar Rav Huna, agavot ein behem mishum erva. It must be that agavot does not have the status of erva, and that's why your lot of turning around would be better. So the Gemara says, one second, lema misayil Rav Huna, let's try to bring a Mishnah. A Mishnah in Challah. A Mishnah in Challah is going to prove to me this halacha about agavot. Left field. Ha'isha yosheves v'kosala chalasa aruma. A woman is making a challah, and she's going to be mafresh challah, and for some reason she's not wearing anything. So the Mishnah says, ha'isha yosheves, she could sit down v'kosala chalasa aruma. And she's allowed to take off challah aruma. What's the chiddush here? The chiddush is that usually you have to say a bracha when you're mafresh challah. So the Mishnah seems to say that she could sit down, and that's enough to allow her to even say a bracha when she's being mafresh challah. B'pnei she'yachola l'chasos paneha b'karka, because she's able to cover herself when she's sitting down in a certain way. She's able to cover herself, and therefore the erva, the makom erva, is not showing. Avaloha ish. But a man can't do that, because a man can't just cover himself by sitting down. A man's body obviously is different, as Rashi explains here. So therefore, a man can't do that. But what do you see from the Mishnah? That because a woman could cover herself in the front, so that's why she's allowed to say the bracha. But what about the back? She's not covered in the back. So it must be haraya that agavot is not erva. And therefore she can still say the bracha, even if agavot are not covered. That's the potential raya. So answers the Gemara, no raya. Tir Gemara, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, k'un shayu paneha tochos b'karka. A woman is sitting in some way that both sides are covered, the front and the back. So therefore there's no raya that agavot are not erva. She's sitting some way, panav tochas bakarka, that both the front and the back of the body are covered. Okay, fine. There's a very important discussion regarding this Mishnah in general, about women is allowed to sit down. Isha Yoshev is the Kotzal HaKalasa. The Magen Avram in Simen Ches and Shulchan Aruch, the first place where a Berchas HaMitzvah is spoken about in Shulchan Aruch. So there the Shulchan Aruch says, when we make a Berchas HaMitzvah, we're supposed to stand. Bez Hashem, tonight we're all going to hear the Megillah, so even though we're allowed to sit when we hear the Megillah, the Chazan's supposed to stand, but we're supposed to sit, but we're all going to stand up for the Brachas. Why? Because there's a halacha that you have to be Omer, you have to stand up when you say a Berchas HaMitzvah. Then we can sit down after the Brachas. So says the Magen Avram, what about this Mishnah? So she can sit down and make the bracha, because to cover herself. What about the halacha? You have to make a bracha as a mitzvah standing. Ask the Magen Avram. So the Magen Avram says a tremendous chiddush. Magen Avram says, no, there's no mitzvah to be mafresh challah. It's just a matir. It's just the halachic act which allows you to then eat the challah. But there's no mitzvah to be mafresh challah. It's just a matir. It's a halachic requirement that you need to make it permissible to take part in the rest of the challah. That's what the Magen Avraham says, and the Gra says, Dvarim Einlu Einlo Shachar. That's the Gra, the Birah Gra and the Shachar. He said, what is the Gra? What is the Magen Avraham talking about? There are number two, at least two Gemaras, the Gra quotes, that said, Hafrashus Chal is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be Mafresh Chal, give it to the Kohen. It's a mitzvah. What is the Gra? What is it? Not just a matir. So, it's a very Mechudish Magen Avraham. There's a different reason why is she allowed to sit down here. What's the Pashas? What would you say? What? You have no choice here. She has no choice. She's not wearing anything. Normally, yes, a nachinami. But if she yashar, if somebody can't stand up for the bracha, so he can't say the bracha. No, it's lachachila. So you have to try. But if you can, so then the mafarshim on the Shulchan Aruch say that you can sit down. There's just one more. There's Rabbi Kiva Eger in the first siman in Yaradeya that points out that there's a taz there that argues on this Magen Avraham, because the taz there in the kaddish of brachas and mitzvah, he says there's a mitzvah to be mafresh Trumas and Maisros, even if you have no desire or plan to eat from the field. Let's say you're going away for this for the year. But says the Taz, you still have a mitzvah to be mafresh, because there's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be mafresh Trumas and Maisros. So assuming there's a connection between Trumas and Maisros and Challah, so says the Rabbi Rabbi Kiva Eger, it seems to be a machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham. Is there a mitzvah's hafrasha when it comes to these mitzvahs, Challah and Truma and Maisros, etc.? You might be a machalik between all of these mitzvahs, but that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests, that this is a machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham. Okay, Amar Mar, two dots. Imhayu, continuation from quoting from before. Imhayu, Banav Abnei Beis Uktana Mutter. The Braisa had said, if the little children are in the bed with you, then everything's mutter. You don't have to turn around, you don't have to worry about anything. So how old? What age kids? Yad Kama, Amar Rav Chisda, Tinok is Bashal Hashanah B'Yom Echad, V'Tinok Ben Tesh Hashanah B'Yom Echad. Rav Chisda says the age that they were Uyilabiyah, which halachically a girl at three, and a boy at nine. These are the ages that are crucial for many halachas, right? For Hilchas Yichud, for Hilchas Negia maybe, for various halachas, these three and nine are the key ages. Ikad Amri, others say, no, it means older. Tinokas Bas Yudal Shana V'Yom Echad, V'Tinok Ben Shtemesri Shana V'Yom Echad. It means a year before Higiel Mitzvahs, a girl 11 years old and a boy 12 years old. Idi Ve'idi, but by both of them, Ad Kedei Shadayim Nachonu Sarech Sameach. It's only when they start looking like a boy and a girl. That's according to the second opinion, when they're 11 and 12, as long as they've reached puberty, as long as they look like a boy and a girl. If they haven't, so then you have till the following year. By the following year, it's when they're once they're bar bat mitzvah, then it doesn't matter what happens. They have the status. It has the status of an erva. I'm a layer of Ganel or Vashi, just finishing up this sugya. Over there before, right? We've had two discussions so far today. A discussion about putting your tefillin under your bed, when you're afilu ishto imo, and what about saying kriyashma afilu ishto imo in the room? So the first we just said before that we pass on like Shmuel in case A by tefillin. Do we pass on like Shmuel in case B? Hachamai. Do we pass on like Shmuel here too? Amalei atu kulu b'chadam achlam achtinu. Do you have to say everything's the same? Do you have to say that the weaver weaved everything in one weaving? No. Wherever we said halacha gishmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel. If we didn't say it, then we didn't say it. Period. So the halacha is not like Shmuel. Amalei Rav Mari Lurav Papa Seir Hayotzi Bebig Domahu. Once we're talking about what is the status of erva, so the Gemara asks, what about Seir? Let's say somebody has a hole in their pants and there's Seir that's Yotzei Bebig Domahu. So does that have the status? Not the skin of the person itself, but the Seir itself. Does that have the status of erva? So Kariyala Seir Seir. So Rav Papa says that maybe it's not the best thing to say Kriyashma, but this officially, does that have the status of Seir? The Gemara says no. It's just Tam Seir, it's Tam Hair, therefore you don't have to worry about it. Okay, so now we get to a very famous Gemara for four lines, every one of these lines could have a separate shiur. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, tefach be'isha erva. The tefach on the hidden places of a woman's body has the status of erva. Lamai, so what is Rabbi Yitzchak talking about? Ilei melista kulei ba. If we're talking about the isser of looking at certain parts of a woman's body that we're not allowed to look at, so then what do you mean tefach? Why, when the Mishnayos in Shabbos list off all the jewelry that a woman is allowed or not allowed to go out with on Shabbos in a place where there's no Erev, why does it list the ones that are public and the ones that are private? Lomer lacha, to teach you a connection between these two. Kol mistaka b'espaktana shel isha, kilo mistaka b'makom ha-toref. To teach you to look at a woman's body, even the public part of it, is even just like looking at makom ha-toref. What does that mean? Lashon of histaklus. If you remember the shiurim that we gave on Hilchas Nida, there are different levels. There's re'ia, there's histaklus, right, in English. There's glancing, there's looking, there's staring. All three different connotations. Liz takule is somewhat more than glancing, meaning we all have to live in the world and on buses and on billboards, this and that. You know, sometimes there's something that our eyes have to pass by. But that's cool, that's the lowest level. The lowest level is, okay, what can you do? But Liz takule be something a little more. That means you concentrate on it a little bit. It's a little focused on. It says the Gemara here, if somebody's being mistakel, focusing on the body part of a woman, lehanospo, not for other purposes. There's other purposes. Somebody has to go to a doctor. To go to a doctor, that's obviously not included in this. It's a mitzvah to go to a doctor. All kinds of doctors, a lot of times, up until 100 years ago, there were no female doctors. Everybody went to male doctors. And most of our wives had male doctors, so that's obviously not included in here. It means looking the lehanospo. That's the Rambam adds in that Lashon, lehanospo, to get hanah from. That's the Yisr. So that's even less than a tefach. So it's even less than a tefach, so what's Rabbi Yisrael talking about? So Ela be'ishto v'l'kriyashma. It's talking about le'ishto, regarding one's wife, Le'inyin Kriyashma, meaning obviously we're not talking about other women here, we're talking about even Ishto for Kriyashma, then the body still has to be covered. What? Just the why does the connection between public and private, that if you look at a public part of a woman, it's just like you looked at a private part of a woman, we learned that from the fact that both Tachshitin are listed. Amar Rav Chisda, Shok Be'isha Erva, the Shok of a woman has the status of erva. Shemar that says galit shok ivri naharos. The word shok is used in a pasuk. V'ksiv right afterwards tigal erva seich v'gam teira ech erva seich. So you see, shok is identified as erva. What is the shok? So that is a major machlokas achronim. So the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah paskins this way that the shok is above the knee. Above the knee is the shok, and that's what is erva, and that's not totally on minhag ha-makom. I mean, even if there's a whole country that wears miniskirts, shok is, whatever its shok is, it's usher to have that uncovered. So that's why the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah and many achronim say it means covering till the knee. And that means no matter how a woman is positioned outside, sitting or standing or walking, everything has to be covered. So that's why if it's just till the knee, so that's not gonna help in most situations. So that's why, according to Rov Mefarshim, it has to be past the knee enough so that whenever a woman, whatever a position a woman is in public, the knee is covered. And that's why most girls' schools has to be covering the knee even while sitting. You know, that's what it says in the handbooks. The Chazon Ish though is more makma. The Chazon Ish assumes that above the knee, that's called yarech. That's called the thigh. That whole area. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. The shok is down to the ankle, from the knee to the ankle. So that's why if the minhag Chazon Ish, those who follow Chazon Ish, is that the shok is the bottom part of the leg, not the top part of the leg. Machlokas, what does shok mean? So that's why the different minhagim in, and so then Chazon Ish says, below the knee, that's not totally on minhag. That's pure shok, and therefore it would have to be covered. According to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Prima Gadim, no, under the leg is totally a minhag ha-makom. So if you're in Bnei Brak, then you have a chiyuv to do. You have a chiyuv to cover to the ankle, because that's the makom of the Chazon Ish. But outside, if you're in a place where it's less covered, then you can rely on that. But again, if you're in a place where the minhag is not to cover the shok, so then that's obviously not a minhag. That's just against halacha. Okay, that's number two. Number three, Amar Shmuel, Kol Be'isha Erva. The voice of a woman is an erva. The Ritva points out it's the kol zamar of an isha, the singing voice, not stam a talking voice. Even though there are one or two achronim that are more machmir, but in general we assume like the Ritva just the singing voice of a woman, again, we could have a whole shiur separate on that, not for now. Kol Isha. Shenemar, as the pasuk describes the beauty of a woman's voice. Ki kol areva marech naveh. Amar Rav Sheshes, seir b'isha erva. The hair of a woman, I am the other shiur, you want to look it on the web, it's a shiur on covering the hair on the web. Kol seir b'isha erva. Shenemar, sa'areh ka'eder ho'izim. Okay, these four things, famous Gemara, each one is important. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Couple of Rabbi Chanina stories. Ani Reisias Rabbi Shetal Tefillah, back to Tefillin. I saw a Rabbi hanging his Tefillin. He hanged it from a nail. Meisvei Hatola Tefillah Yitlu Lochayav. We have a brisa that says if you hang your Tefillin, your life is going to get hanged. Not such a good idea. Darshe Chamuros Amru, and the ones who darshin the secrets of the Psukim say Vahayu Chayecha Tefluim Lchamineged Pasuk. I think in Kisavo Zeh Hatola Tefillah. Right, you want your wife hanging? You know, hang your Tefillin. Right, because you're treating it in a bizarre way. So how could Rebbe have done that? So lokasha haberitzuah bekatzisa. It depends. If you put the box and you hang the ritzuos down, that's okay. That's not bizarre. But if you hang it from the ritzuos and you hang it down, so that's why you'd say problem. That's why some posts can say, even when we're putting on our tefillin, we have to be careful. Sometimes we hold the sides of our shel rosh, we hold the ritzuos and the box is hanging down. It's better if one hand is on the box and one hand is on the straps, so you put it on the head, and then you get your tefillin in place. Bibayisema, different answer. Loshna Ritsua of Loshna Katsitsa, Asr. No, even from the box is Asr. Vichitala Rebbe Bakista Tala. No, he hung it. He had like a little hole on the top of his filling bag. And he put it, the nail, the hole into the nail. But nothing was hanging. It was all in the bag. Ihachi Maila Bembra. So if he did that, so what's Rebbe Chanina's Chiddush? Rebbe did this. So of course, that's okay. Mao de Tema Tiboy Hanakal Ksefer Torah, Kamash Malan. No, you might say a Sefer Torah can't even be hung on something like that. So you might say Tefillin have the status of a Sefer Torah in that regard. Kamash Malan, no. Fine. Rabbi Rebbe Chanina, next Rebbe Chanina story. Ani Reisias Rebbe. I once saw a Rebbe davening, Shegihek, and he burped in the middle of davening. Upihek, and he yawned. Vinis Atish, and he sneezed. Verok, and he spit. It's a busy davening. Umemashmesh bevigdo, and he checked. He was getting some bugs out of his suit. Avolohayim misatev. Even though, but he did all of this. But when his talis fell off of him during Shemona Esrei, he wasn't matzik to pick it up. That's the story. Ukeshum mafahek hayamaniach al yado al sinteru. So the pashas of the first line, the way Rashi understands it, is Mamashish Bebigdo is checking for the bugs, but if his talus fell off, then he wouldn't pick it up. Somebody in the back, I think it's my Tosfos. Oh, I'm sorry, I knew somebody. Tosfos here gives a different shot. He thinks Mamashish Bebigdo means if your talus is falling off, then you can put it back on. But Bohim is Atef means if it totally fell off and it's on the floor, so then you can't be mafsik to go put it back on. Again, this is a talus. We spoke about the difference between the kedusha of a talus and tefillin. First 5 minutes of today's shiur, we spoke about tashbisha kedusha, tashbisha mitzvah. So this might not apply if you see dvarim shebekedusha on the floor. Okay, let's continue the story. It says Rabbi Chanina, continuing the story, when Rebbe yawns, he put his hand over his mouth. Right, COVID. Right, Rashi says that nobody would see his mouth opening. The Rif has just the opposite girsa. It says ukshim afahik lo hayamaniach yado al sentero, because the Rif seems to assume that it's gaivadik. You know, it's like a little gassus ruach to do that when one is saying Shemona Esrei. So it's a discussion: did he yes or did he not? Okay, that's the story of Rebbe. Meisvei, but how could Rebbe do this? There's a brisa: Hamashmiya kolo betfilaso harize miktane amana. If somebody raises their voice in tefillah, so they are from the ones with little belief. Rashi says because sometimes it looks like he's like assuming that Hashem can't hear him if he talks slowly. He's got to say it louder. I've got to make sure Hashem hears me. Or is it Miktani Amana? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Hamagbia, I just looked for my water. Hamagbia kol b'tfilaso, hari zeh minevi'i hasheker. If you really make your voice louder, hamagbia, so then that's minevi'i hasheker. Because the nevi'im hasheker are always vayikru b'kol gadol. They always screamed out to Hashem, answer. So that's why you shouldn't do that. Megahek u'mefahek. If somebody, like we said before, megahek is to burp, and mefahek is to yawn. Hari ze migase haruach, it's haughtiness. Right, so how could, well, that's the kasha, how could Rebbe have acted this way? The brisa says it's gase haruach. Hamis atish betfilaso, if somebody sneezes during Shemona Esrei, simin ralo, it's not a good sign. V'yesh omrim, and some say, nikar shehu mechuar. If you sneeze, it's a reflection that there's something wrong. Harok b'tfilaso, k'ilu rok b'fnei ha-melech. And if somebody spits during davening, it's as if he spit in front of the king. So how could Rebbe have done all of these things? The Braisa says they're so improper. So bishlam ha-megaygim ha-fahig. So in the cases of the burping and the yawning, lo kasha, that could be answered. Kan la-onso, kan la-ritsono. Depends if you're doing it on purpose. If somebody, obviously burping is something that sometimes people can control. So if somebody's doing it on purpose, so that's bad. Or if somebody, I don't know, if yawning on purpose, exactly know how that works, but sometimes you could pretend like a fake yawn. I don't know, maybe you're having a meeting with somebody and you want to give them the message like you're bored. So like you give a little yawn so they try to get the message to show that it's been a long time. So I guess yawning you could also do as a fake. So the Gemara says, if you're doing it on purpose, then that's a problem. But a lot of times, it doesn't happen on purpose. Sometimes we just had we had too much Chinese food, right? And we had too much, we have to yawn, we're tired. So if you're doing it la'onso, it's not a problem. That's what Rebbe is doing it for. So that answers the first two. El mis'atesh ha-mis'atesh kasha. But what about sneezing, right? Rebbe sneezed, and the Bryce says sneezing is no good. Sneezing is, can't help. You know, you can't give that chiluk. So mis'atesh ha-mis'atesh, na'mi lo kasha, kan milamata, kan milamata. Is it sneezing or is it a sneeze from below, as the Gemara calls it? So that's improper. But regular sneezing is okay. Damar of Zera, Hamilsa Iboili, look on the side, Iboili, Beira Hamnuna. I asked this from Rav Hamnuna. Vitakilali Kikulat Hamudai. And this vart was better for me than the whole Torah. It weighed so much for me, this vart. Hamasajish bitfiloso simin yafilo. Because it seems like Rav Hamnuna, Reb Zera had a sneezing problem, I guess. So he was always sneezing. So he was always worried that what's with all my sneezing? So Rav Hamnuna told him this var from the that if somebody sneezes in tefila, it's a good sign. Kishem she'osim lo nachas ruach milamata, kach osim lo nachas ruach milamala. Just like you're sneezing from below. And in the olden days, they used to think that sneezing was healthy. That's why they say gezuntai labriyot, because they thought like in the olden days, people, Yaakov Avinu used to sneeze and then they died right away. Yaakov Avinu with this, the Chizkuni, I think, says in Vayechi, the beginning of Vayechi, that he was the first one to get sick. Yaakov was the first one to get sick. Before that, somebody sneezed, and that was it. They died. So sneezing used to be associated with Misa. So that's why nowadays, we say Gesundheit, we say, the Shulchan Aruch even talks about, what if you're learning? You'll have to be masik, you're learning to say Gesundheit. Halavai, we shouldn't be masik for other things. But the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you hear somebody, your Chavrusa sneezing next to you in the Beis Medrash. You're allowed to say Gesundheit. It's a discussion in the Poskim. But, so says the Gemara, just like sneezing is good for you down here, so too if you sneeze, it's a Simen Yafa in Shemaim. So we answered the sneezing chilek. Ela roka rokasha, but what about the spitting chilek? Right, the Rebbe spit, and the Gemara said, the Braisa says, it's not nice to spit. So, roka rok nami lo kasha, it's also a no question. If you spit on the ground, that's a problem. But, efshar kid Rebbe Yehuda, maybe Rebbe did like Rebbe Yehuda. Dumb Rebbe Yehuda, hayomi betilo v'nizdami lo rok, but if he's davening and he has some spit, mavlio betaliso, you could, put in a talus. In our days, we'll say put in a tissue, put it in something. That's not a problem. Vim talus noahu mavlio ba'af raksuso. So then you can put in some other type of begad you have. But lemaisa, that wouldn't be a problem, because that's, you're just getting it out of your mouth. It's not really mamish spitting. Okay, so we answered up all the questions about the yawning, and about the burping, and about the spitting. Everything we've explained, what's good, what's not good. Ravina, havi koya chori de Ravashi. Ravina was once walking behind Ravashi, but his damin lagrok, and he had some saliva. Patkila chori. And then Ravashi turned around, gave a spit, and Ravina said, what are you doing to me? Right, so he says, what are you doing? He says, Melahardu Rav Yehuda, Mavlio Bafraksuso, don't you hold like it's better to put it in your scarf or in your tissue? What are you doing spitting it on the floor for? Armalia, no Anina Datoi. He says, I'm an istinus, I'm a mafuna, I can't. I have to get it away from me and I can't deal with it. The Rabbeinu Yonah says here, we're not talking about an Isidaraisa here. We're talking about something that's not covetic. So if it's not covetic, so if this in this context, he's not violating that issue. He's doing it because he's an istinus and he can't daven properly. So that's why it would be mutter. Okay, first wide line. I'm a shmiya kol b'tfilaso. So we're going to talk about some of the things that are quoted above. If you raise your voice in tefila, hariz emiktani amana. Amar afuna lo shanu ela shiyochol l'chavin is tefila b'blachash. When do you have to daven quietly? Only when you can... When you can have kavana, when you daven quietly, then you have to daven quietly. But if you can't have kavana when you daven very quietly, you're allowed to be a little louder. But the Gemara, make sure, don't misunderstand. This is at home. If you're at home, and you're not going to bother anybody by davening a little louder, so then you can daven a little louder. But if you're betzibur, you got to make sure that you don't daven loud enough to bother the next person. So you have to daven loud enough for yourself to hear it. That's the halacha we had in Daf Tezvav, Hashma la'aznav. You have to be able to hear it a little bit yourself, but you're not allowed, you're not supposed to make it that your friend's going to have to like start talking a little louder to give you the message. Right? They're going to give you the message or give you, or they're going to elbow you. It wants to be nice, but you got to make sure that it's not that loud. The Shulchan Aruch does say that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the minhag is to daven a little louder. Everybody davens a little louder, als kavana. But again, we still can't do it in a way that's going to bother others. But that is the minhag. There is an interesting mabit. Mabit has a beautiful sefer, Beis Elokim. Three parts. He has it on Shuvah, Tefillah, and Torah, I think. Three parts. So the Mabit in Beis Elokim, some yeshivas, they learn it in the Musa Seder. So he asks, he says, so many times throughout the Torah, you find people who screamed out in Tefillah. Vayitzaku el Hashem, Vayitzak, Vayitzak, Vayitzak. So what do you mean? I must be a kolbet Tefillah, so it's a bad thing. What do you mean by Yitzhak? So some of the Bali Medrash say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu by Tzfardeya, he had to scream because the frogs were making so much noise. But Yitzhak says he had to go out Michutz La'ir. Some of the Farshim say because they were making so much. But Pashtus by Yitzhak, you know, why do they have to scream? Mashmiya Kol B'Tfilah, so it's not good. So the way it's explained, the Mabit says, when do you say you're not supposed to scream? That's only by the regular text of Tfilah. Shmon Esrei. But Be'ez Tzara, let's say you're having a Tehillim rally for a cause, then you can scream. Then you could scream. Because then you're trying, the fact that you're screaming is not reflecting that you don't think Hashem hears you. It's affecting, it's reflecting that it's an Eis Tzara. By Eis Tzara, people cry, people scream. So it says the Mabit, there's a big chilek between regular context of davening and other times when there's an Eis Tzara. The Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing by Slichas. A lot of times Slichas, we daven a little louder than the regular davening. Because Slichas is also an Eis Tzara. Slichas is also where we know our lives are on the line. So that wouldn't be included in this Gemara. Rabbi Abba havi kamishtame minei de Rabbi Yehuda tavi kaboy lemeisak la'arad Yisrael. Another well-known Gemara that's quoted at the end of Ksubis also, Rabbi Abba was trying not to be seen by Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda didn't want him to make Aliyah and he wanted to make Aliyah. Why? Dam Rabbi Yehuda has held, and this relates to the big discussion of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, kala ola mi babel Eretz Yisrael over ba'asei. Whoever goes from babel to Eretz Yisrael violates an asei. Maris Chayes wonders here why nobody counts this as an asei. So obviously there's a lot more to talk about than just this line of the Gemara. So nobody should walk out of here saying, oh, okay, that's why I'm in Woodmere, right? Because of Rabbi Yehuda. No, I'm okay. No, we shouldn't walk out of there. There's a lot more to discuss here. But anyway, that's what Rabbi Yehuda used to say. So Rabbi Abba didn't want to be seen by him. Shenamar, Bavela yuva'u v'shama yiyu ad yom pakti osam ne'um Hashem. There's a pasuk in Navi which seems to say that when you go out into Galus, you have to be there until Hashem says, it's time to come back. Again, major, major discussions. So Rabbi Abba, therefore, didn't want to be seen by Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar, Ezel v'eshpa minei milsa mibeis vada v'hadar afik. So I'm going to go stand outside the Beis Medrash. I'm going to try to overhear what's going on in the shir. It's Torah. He wants to hear the shir, but he's scared to see the Rebbe because the Rebbe's going to scream at him for what he wants to do. So he goes, Ozel Ashkechei L'tanik HaMed Rebbe Yehuda. He hears from inside. They say the following. Somebody is in the middle of davening and sneezes. Mamtin, I'm sorry, and sneezes from below. That's what we're talking about here. The lower sneeze. Mamtin hashiyach laharuach. You have to stop until the smell goes away. V'chozer u'mispalel. And then you can continue davening. That's one brisa. Ikadamri hayom mitfilo bigish leizatesh. Or another brisa is, let's say you're in the middle of davening and one feels the urge, the need that he's going to have to sneeze from below. Marchik la'achar dal ramos u'mizatesh. He can walk to the other side of the room. Let's say he's not in shul. He can walk to the other side of the room. He can do what he has to do. And then go back to where he was davening and continue davening. And he could says when he starts davening again, Yitzartanu nekavim nekavim chalulim chalulim galuiv yadua lefanecha cherpaseinu uchlimaseinu v'chayinu bachriseinu rima v'solaa. And he says this special bakasha of, you know, Kodesh Baruch, what do you want from me? I'm a human being. This is what I have to do in the eve of the middle of Shemona Esrei. Umaschem imachem shepasak. And he could start from where he left off. That's what Rabbi Abba hears this brisa from the outside. So Amar, and then the Bach takes out Lay, because he's talking to himself. He's standing outside alone when he hears this vart. Amar, Ida lobasi alishma, davar zed, die. Oh, if I only heard this one vart, it's enough for me. Okay, so he was very excited about that vart. So I saw some of the Mefarshim talk about, see how this starts off. Rabbona shalolam, yitzartanu, this extra tefillah. So what happens if somebody is krechsing in the middle of davening, and he says, oh, Rabbona shalolam. Is that a hefsek? Is that a hefsek? If you're in the middle of davening, you're like, oh, you know, red, tata. So it says, maybe, so some achronim want to say, oh, maybe from this gemara it shows that it's not a hefsek. Because you start off this special tefillah that you had to say with Rabbana Shalom. What does that have to do with anything? We know you're talking to Rabbana Shalom. So maybe that shows it's not a hefsek. Okay, but I would try not to say it either. Tana Rabbanan, a little bit more. Tana Rabbanan's last skinny line. Somebody is lying, again, like in the olden days, they were lying without clothes on. They were lying under covers, and it's freezing. It is so cold. And it's time for Kriyashma.
But what does he do? He doesn't want to get out of bed. Let's assume Kriyishma and Neisachama, and the minion is going to be a little later. He's not missing minion at all, Chas v'Shalom. So he's in the middle of bed, but he wants to say Kriyishma at the best time. But it's freezing out. So what does he do? So the Braisa says, Chotzeis b'taliso al savar v'kori Kriyishma. What did he do? He takes the blanket, he puts it under his neck, because as we said before, there's a concept which Gemara is going to mention in a minute, libo roa es ha'erva, that there has to be a break. Well, at this point, there has to be a break between the erva and some part of one's body. So therefore, the first opinion says, you put the blanket tight up to the neck, and therefore you have the hafsik between the head and the erva. The yesh omen al libo, and some say, no, you got to put it, the break a little further down, because it has to be between the heart and the erva. But Tanakama hari libo roas erva, what does the Tanakama hold? The Tanakama holds there's no break between the lab and the erva. So ksavar libo roas erva mutter, he doesn't hold to that whole principle. So the Ridva here just notes, you know, what is this concept of libo roas erva? Which, by the way, is the makar for wearing a gartel, right? So to have a break between the libo roas erva, it's the makar for other poskim say, you have to have something. So that's why the elastic of undergarments or of pants, that also could count. But others have the kapeda to wear an extra beged for tefillah. The gartel to have the break for libo roas erva. So what is this all about? So the Ridva says, obviously, the lev doesn't have eyes. Libo roas erva. So he says, no, the idea is just that there's supposed to be a hefsik between the evarim chashuvim of one's body and the erva, when one davens. So this discussion is, what's called evarim chashuvim? So the lave is chashuv, and the head, the brain is chashuv. So that's the discussion in the Braisa, says the Ritva. Let's say somebody is walking in a place where there's dirty things there, like we spoke about yesterday, the soa, whatever it is, on the floor. Let's say he's walking through a dirty alley. So he could continue walking. He could say Kriyishma, just put your hand over your mouth when you say it. I don't know, create some type of hefsik between the Dvarim Shebekdusha that you're saying and the Makam. Amalei Rav Chisa, hello Kim! Rav Chisa says, what? Amalei Rav Yochanan Yipume lo tzai snolei. If Rabbi Yochanan himself told me that, I wouldn't believe that he said that. You said it to me, shame Rabbi Yochanan, but I wouldn't believe it. Ika da Amre, or a different version of the story. Again, he's the name of Yeshua ben Levi, not Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalei Rav Chisda again, hello Kim. I wouldn't listen to him. How could you say that this is allowed? Did Rav Huna say that you're allowed to do this, to keep walking and just cover your mouth? But Rav Huna said, Tamar Chacham also lamed b'makom atinofes. L'fishi yefsha lamed b'lo yehira Torah. Rav Huna says it's usher. You can't be there because you can't learn. So obviously he doesn't leave room to cover your mouth and learn. So you see, he doesn't hold to that. He says you're just not allowed to be there. So lo kasha says the Gemara. No, there's a big difference. Kan ba'omed kan b'mahalich. Rav Huna's lashon here is lamod. You can't stand there and be there. So if you're standing there and stop there, so then you can't just put your hand over your mouth. But if you're walking through, you're passing through, so then Rav Huna says it would be mutter. Did Rav Yochanan say, right, the story of Rav Yochanan is quoted now, does he say you're allowed to keep walking and just cover your mouth? You see, Rav Yochanan doesn't allow you to do anything in a Beis HaMerchatz or a Beis HaKisei. Rav Yochanan says it's usher. He doesn't say you're allowed to do it and cover your mouth. So and if you want to tell me there's a difference, Rabbi Yochanan also is machalik between if you're standing there and if you're walking through there, what? Right, so if you want to tell me Hachanami, Rabbi Yochanan also has the chilek between if you're standing there, if you're walking, any. But the following story says that he does it. Rabbi Yochanan, we'll be finished in a minute. Rabbi Avo was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, and he was saying Kriyishma. Kimat b'vavos habitrofes ishtik. When Rabbi Avahu was walking with Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Avo got to these dirty places, he stopped saying Kriyishma. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan lahechan ahader. So after this break, he said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Where should I start again from?" So Amalei im shahisa kadei ligmaras kula chazal arosh. If you stop so far, so much, then you have to go back to the beginning. So you see from the story, it sounds like the Rabbi Yochanan agreed to what was going on here, that you have to stop. What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan just said before that you don't have to stop. Just cover your mouth. So the Gemara says, no, haki ka amarle. This is what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say to Rabbi Avahu. Lidi dilo svirle. I say, you can just continue walking and cover your mouth. You didn't have to stop. Lidi doch, but you, the svirlecha, you hold that you have to stop. So according to you, if you hold this a hefsik, so then, im shahisa, the Gemara's kula, chozel arosh. So then, if you stopped long enough to be gomer's kula, so then you have to go back to the beginning. But me, Iker Adin, I hold that you wouldn't, you would just have to cover your mouth. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll just have two brises that connect to the shittas. Again, today's shia was Lezecha Nishmas Yitzchak Ben Peretz Klein.
Tomorrow morning, Dachas at 6:30 and Dachas at 7:30.
Thank you.